Thank you very much for joining us today despite your tight schedule and despite this very cold weather. I would also like to extend my hearty gratitude for your continuous support to our group. Thank you so much. Now, let me explain about SBI Holdings' financial results for the nine-month period ended December 31, 2017. We have about 90 minutes. First, consolidated results which are already publicized. The revenue, 247,125 million, or up 27.7%. And pre-tax profit, 50,623 million, or up 51.5% year-on-year. And the profit for the period, 41,142 million yen, up 88.1% year-on-year. Profit attributable to owners of the company, 36,465 million, or up 45.1%. So a significant increase in both revenue and profit. By segment, just quickly, financial service business for revenue, it achieved 158,437 million, or up 20.5%. And the pre-tax profit, 46,695 million, up 24.9%. Asset management business, 86,895 million, or up 50%. Pre-tax profit, 43,056 million, or up 346%. By technology-related business, some decrease. So pre-tax profit was minus 31,553 million, which I am going to give you more details. So this is exactly the page that I'm going to talk about it. So the performance is going to be good for the time being. And as much as possible, when it comes to potential future risks, including goodwill, we would like to get rid of them. We would like to review those potential risks in the future, especially when it comes to biotechnology companies. There are certain difficulties. For example, Kubota Pharmaceutical Holdings, or formerly known as Acucela, the other day, based on the clinical trial, the results of the drug discovery, which turned out to be not so bad. But according to our evaluation, Emxustat, in particular, this is mainly for the very effective for the retinal problem. But the Stargardt disease, it is good, but the market there is small. And when it comes to bigger market, it's not bad business, but not as good as we expected. That's what we have found out from our evaluation. So we decided to review the pipeline. And about 18.5 billion yen of impairment loss, the Stargardt diabetic retinopathy was part of the picture. And as I mentioned several times in the past, we are going to IPO it on Nasdaq market in the U.S. And that is about Quark Pharmaceuticals. And post-IPO development plan was reviewed. And some of its intangible assets were reevaluated, resulting in an impairment of 5.7 billion yen. The impairment losses. Without those impairment losses, our bio sector remains more or less unchanged. As to SBI Savings Bank of South Korea, which had a very bad reputation, it's true that in 2013, we bought a company which was on the verge of bankruptcy. But still, we were confident to reverberate the entity. We recovered their business. Now this bank is incurring more than 10 billion yen of the profit. So the 100 billion yen worth the goodwill is on the book. So we believe that the goodwill will not be impaired as long as the current situation continues. We believe that actually the status of the entity will be even better. So in short, we are reducing those risk assets. We would like to change the positioning of those companies and the rating, rather, for the convertible bonds, for example. It would not be surprising to make that happen when we look at the share prices. We would like to see conversion as soon as possible. If not, in 2 years, with the soft call, we will take the ultimate measure. Through that process, we would like to improve the ratings as much as possible. I think that the current interest rate status is at the bottom. So we need to think about what will happen when the interest rates go up. When it comes to markets, the American market has already factored in the change in the taxation. And the infrastructure investment is yet to be reflected in the market. And also, the fiscal disciplines are yet to be handled or addressed. In any case, when the United States fails, then that will certainly give some negative impact on the Japanese market. Therefore, we need to be prepared for every possible scenario. When the Paribas shock or crisis happened, the E*TRADE Korea, we listed that company, and the Globe Life, we bought it, and also the SBI E*TRADE, which was on the first section, we bought it back because they were the cash cows. And I thought that we need to be prepared for different scenarios. And then came the financial crisis. So I made a telephone call to Mr. Son when he was moving toward some very risky move. And I think that it could be very bad news for him. Son-san tends to think that every purchase of his is going to be higher in the price. And maybe I should not talk so much about the other company. For the sake of time, let's move on. So this is the total shareholder return ratio of 40% as a minimum. That is our commitment. And with that, the 40% will be translated into a considerable amount. This time, we did not do any other buybacks. So everything will be on the dividends. So for the 9 months, 36.5 billion yen, and 40% of it is going to be paid out as dividends. So to that point, it is already decided. And whether it is Japan Company Handbook Winter or Nikkei Kanshin Jouhou Premium, they came up with those numbers like 50 yen or 55 yen. It's really misleading for our investors. So we made a change. And for the fourth quarter, and we will look at the numbers of the quarter, of the fourth quarter. And we might change the dividend number. If, of course, if it's a very good result in the fourth quarter, we will change it upward. So this 70 yen could change. And so please understand that this is a minimum level. 70 yen is the minimum level. And the shareholders' benefits, there are six of them here. That everyone is related to ALA Plus products. And it amounts to about 54,000 yen. And this is for shareholders for more than 1 year and hold 1,000 or 10 units or more shares as of March the 31st, 2018. And for those shareholders, these six products are offered as benefits. Now, business overview of each segment, starting with securities-related business. Both revenue and profit renewed the historical high. The operating revenue, 84,269 million, up 26.6%. And the operating income, 37,708 million, up 33.7%. And the ordinary income, 37,736 million, or up 33.9%. Profit attributable to owners of the company, 26,122 million, or up 24.5%. Online companies, the competition there is already over. It's been over already since 2015. And as you can see on this page, the number of SBI's accounts is 4.17 million accounts as of January 29, 2018. So the number is increasing. Number of their deposit assets are also increasing steadily. Now, looking at number of accounts from June 2011 through December 2017, 9.6% the CAGR for SBI. And already exceeded Daiwa. And since then, Daiwa has not announced their numbers. The Nomura, it is getting less steeper. It's actually coming down. Nomura's line is coming down with 1.2% CAGR. So it's just a question of time. We are going to exceed these this other player as well. But on the stock basis, the other five the major online companies, the 25.3 trillion yen, which is accounting only for 23.6%. So flow is good, but the stock-wise, we should do better. And our share is also increasing, but it's a hard work to increase it. So strategies for the future. First of all, wholesale business or corporate business should be improved. In particular, IPO underwriting business, especially initial public offerings, IPOs, should be our focus. From April 2017 to December 2017, 63 companies were listed during that period, among which SBI underwrote 59, or 93.7% of underwriting share. So we are dominantly number one. And when it comes to the lead, the underwriting numbers, for this the other quarter, it's not so big, but it is steadily increasing. Among the public companies, so for example, they did IPO with Nomura, but now they would like to use SBI for changing the listing to the first section, for example. In order to be stronger in the corporate business, we need the financial institutional sales department, which is strong. Currently, 151 companies we have as financial institutions, customers. And significantly, equity or the investment trust sales or newly issued bond transactions or existing bond transactions, or the municipal bonds or public bonds, which is a new business area, we are doing all of them and expanding those businesses. iDeCo and NISA, all the securities firms include them in their strategies. And for individuals, they are most important for the financial reasons. And we are doing very well, both for iDeCo and NISA. The 166,301 accounts as of the end of November, approximately 1.6 times larger than that of the end of May 2017. And we waived iDeCo administrative fees from May 19th, 2017. And the number of new customers acquired, SBI Securities is ranked number one in the industry. It's not only the comparison with the securities firms, but also with, for example, life insurers. And SBI Securities is number one. And as to the securities, the investment setting amount, we exceeded 9 billion yen in December 2017 in terms of investment trust setting amount. Now, the NISA's new accounts, SBI, the 1.04 million, Kabu.com, 150,000, Matsui, 130,000, and Nomura, not announced yet. So as of the end of September, the number is shown here, and Daiwa's number is about 800,000 or so.
Furthermore, at SBI Securities, a platform revolution is what we're working on. SBI Prime Securities has been established in August 2017, and we're expecting to receive approval for registration by the end of March 2018, and we're preparing for the commencement of business targeted in April 2018. So SBI Securities large volume customers are going to be provided with prime services, and we would like to eliminate stock brokerage commissions charged to large volume customers. Sometimes people say it's scary when things are free, but we want to make the customers happy by making things free. Especially, we would like to acquire large volume customers at a rapid rate through this establishment. Next is the banking-related business. With regards to SBI Sumishin Net Bank, their results are going to be announced soon. At this moment in time, they have not yet announced their results. But on an IFRS basis, their equity and earnings was up by 30.5% year-on-year, reaching ¥2,949,000,000. And with regards to deposit balance, as of December last year, it was 4.56 trillion. However, 2018, January 29th, it reached 4,646.6 billion yen. So it grew substantially. With the number of accounts, currently, as of January 29th, it stands at 3,121,944. So you could see that the number of accounts have been growing substantially as well. Furthermore, with regards to 4.6 trillion worth of deposit assets, when you compare with other regional banks, starting off with Yokohama Bank at the top, we are number 23. Most of the regional banks have a history of 50 years or 100 years. They've been making efforts to attract the current deposit balance, and they have been attracting regional deposits in a concentrated manner. Compared to that, with regards to our company, we have a nationwide presence in collecting deposits, and over a short period of time, we've been able to reach rank 23. So we are improving highly beneficial customer services in order to expand market share and make our customer base even more diverse. One of the big strategies of banks is housing loans. We are close to 4 trillion at this moment in time. This shows the housing loan volume in total. As of January 29th, we are at 3,955.7 billion yen. So we are growing at an accelerated rate. And for group credit life insurance, this has a positive impact. Or for fire insurance in our non-life insurance business, this has a positive impact. So we have an ecosystem. We are creating mutual evolution and mutual synergies. And since the foundation of our company, I've been building this type of ecosystem so that this can happen. And this is the results we've been able to generate. Furthermore, related to housing loans, in order to increase housing loans, this is a strategy we have in place. Our company has a partnership with Good Mortgage and MX Mobile Inc. So they are bank agencies, and through them, we are increasing our housing loan originations. These two companies account for 15% approximately of total loan originations. In this way, at terminal stations such as Otemachi, Ikebukuro, and Shinjuku, the face-to-face shops are operating over weekends on Saturdays and Sundays, and we are improving the convenience for the customers in order to expand our housing loan business. And this is Mirai no Card, and we've been starting to accept applications, and we are seeing steady growth. To be honest, and it's not a futuristic card, although we call it the future card, Mirai no Card, but it's growing, which is fine. When it's utilized in conjunction with SBI Sumishin Net Bank, benefits are offered such as preferential interest rates and a simplification of application procedures. So overall, you can say it is a good card on a net basis. However, I still think that we have much more to do, and we need to develop an even better card than the one we have in place right now. And also, amongst our new products, we offer products that you can save money by the time you know it, and also enable asset formation, which is effortless. So we are working with emerging companies, venture companies, and with their new technologies, we have been offering new products. And these services use APIs. So FinB by Nasdaq, Wealth Navi's Mamitas, and Money Forward's Shiratama. Shiratama means you'll be able to generate savings by the time you know it unconsciously. So we are working together with these entities. And also, by using accounting transaction data, we have started to offer corporate loans. We need to increase this business. We need to have a group-wide partnership strategy that is breakthrough. Soon, you'll probably hear some news. Please look forward to it. Currently, we're working with Lending One, Payment Two. We are working on this front in many ways. But with regards to business loans, we would like to grow it substantially. We haven't been yet able to do so, but we will be taking steps going forward. And here, this shows new services with companies outside of the group. We're working with a company called Free, which is like Money Forward. And we are doing company establishment simplified procedures to establish a company. For those who are interested in setting up a company, we will be offering necessary services. And where we fit in is opening up a corporate bank account. We would like to simplify the process for these founders. That is why we are working together with Free to deliver such services. Next is insurance. With regards to our insurance-related business, we have five companies comprising the insurance group. And I have declared that we would like to take them to market. And I will explain this in detail later on, but things are proceeding forward. At the profit basis, up to the third quarter, PBT was 2,311 million, up by 64.7%. And the number of contracts increased by 7.6% year-on-year, so we are seeing steady growth. Up until now, compared to what we've been doing up until now, we believe that we will see better growth due to group credit insurance and fire insurance. We would like to expand this market even more. But with regards to SBI Insurance, there are some negative elements that we need to account for. For example, if vehicles turn into autonomous driving, what's going to happen to the insurance business? Or when it comes to cars, when we see population declining, the number of cars owned are likely to decrease as well. Or personalized insurance for cars may emerge even more, and some people may not be able to compete any longer. And it's going to get hard for those players. So for automobile insurance, we need to pose a question. For Rakuten, they are going to enter this category in an old-fashioned way. It seems that they're going to acquire an entity that's engaged in a business. But for non-life insurance businesses, people are thinking in a different way nowadays. They're thinking about doing something different and have technological advantages. For example, a company in Germany is looking into this category and they have good things to offer. So we would like to research into this area as well. For example, at banks, selling insurance products. According to fiduciary duty, are they doing well in sales? Maybe we could do something to support the promotion of sales, because a company in Germany is doing some research in this field. And I regard what they have highly, and we think that we should implement this. And currently, I'm contemplating around whether we should make investments into this entity. But one thing I could say for sure is we offer low cost. So even if cars are going to get increasingly shared in a sharing economy, and companies like Toyota even are going to have challenging times, I believe. Everybody is going to suffer because it's going to be EV and then hydrogen-powered vehicles. So things are going to rapidly change. So if you get left behind, it's going to be really hard. And the cars in Japan are going to disappear. Possibly. So what are we going to do in this picture? We need to take away market share from the major players, and possibly we'll be able to continue our business. So the services I've just mentioned and touched upon is what we would like to work on, and we would like to reduce the premiums as low as possible and create innovation as we continue on with this business. For cancer insurance, fire insurance, we started to sell these products. And we have started to tie up with banks. And CAGR has been 19%. And currently, the number of policies are drawing closer to 1 million because of these efforts. For SBI Life, by starting group credit life insurance, it has started to change drastically. So as we grow our contracts substantially, we will see more expenses with our policy reserves, and it's hard to protect your profits. But we still have been able to generate 400 million on a JGAAP basis. So this is what we're doing here. But our scale is still small, so we need to continue to acquire new customers. So that's what we're putting emphasis on right now. For small amount short-term insurance, we have three companies, and they are respectively growing steadily. Premium income grew by 13% year over year. And with regards to actively promoting a diversification of products and sales channels to expand market share, this is what we're doing. Creating group synergies is something we're going to continue to pursue. InSweb, Sumishin, SBI Sumishin Net Bank, fire insurance acquisition ratios are 70% of the total at this moment on an application basis. So within our group, we have been able to support these new things. So this kind of support mechanism is already in place. So going forward, we would like to work together with regional banks as well as credit unions and implement this service for their housing loans. and three companies have already decided to adopt an insurance, and plans are to start sales at any time from February 2018. So we would like to continue to expand this business. Our regional bank strategy. I have this extensive vision, and it's a part of it. And it's going to be a positive for the entire group, and it's going to be a positive for regional banks, and it's going to be a positive for regional revitalization. I have this conviction, and upon this conviction, I have formulated this strategy. So I believe we can be successful. So with regards to group credit life insurance and the number of applications, on an estimated ANP basis, we are seeing an increase. Regional banks, one has already decided to adopt, and from next fiscal year, we believe several regional banks may adopt, and they're currently considering. For pet SSI, we have plans to implement pet insurance, and we have started to run promotions. And also at Nihon SSI, we are working together with au Non-Life Insurance, and we have a mutual agency contract concluded. And starting from February the 1st, 2018, sales will start on respective websites. Next is the asset management business.
Revenue went up by 60%. Profit before income tax expense was 4.31 billion yen. And for SBI Savings Bank, it was 4.4 billion, became 11 billion. It's a 152% increase. Change in fair value and profit loss on sales on investment securities, 3.4 billion became 32.8 billion. Out of that, the listed is 5 billion. Non-listed is 27.8 billion. Our fintech brand was established in 2015, and one after another, we have injected money in a very rapid speed. We have injected money into it, and it is almost completed. We injected money in 68 companies, I believe. We did an early stage, and they had a second financing, third financing, and each time, their values, all of them, has increased. And that too, they did increase by large. Therefore, in that sense, very appreciative of this situation. Having said that, though, I really appreciate it, but I just can't keep saying that because in my mind, it is actually becoming a major concern in my mind. The reason being is that we have about 10% of Ripple. If they IPO'd and if they make that announcement, I just wonder what the value is going to be for that. Ripple is a company. Therefore, the value of the company and the XRP market price is different. XRP value, it always changes, 5 trillion yen. There's 5 trillion yen also. Just multiplying the ones that are in the market and decide on the market price, and they say it's 5 trillion yen, but the majority of it is in escrow. Therefore, let's say all of it was put into the market and looking at the market price, then it will go above the Bitcoins by large. What are we going to do about this? And my conclusion is very clear. Go public or do another fundraising? Well, the possibility is quite slim for that. If such a situation does arise, I myself have decided to sell already. The valuation and we have to pay tax money, that's quite foolish. Therefore, if the valuation is too large, then the company will go bankrupt. So I just want to sell the moment the announcement of IPO is made. But maybe I had the eyes to see the future, but I made the company Ripple. And that itself will have quite of a value in the future. That is a company we hold. We don't have to do anything complicated. We don't have to make a large transaction to just reflect it in the valuation. If we have to do such a thing, then it will be when we want to sell it. So in this way, and for us, it's not just Ripple. In the future, maybe may become a big hit is what I think is R3, in the same level as Ripple. I will explain about this later, but either way, globally, SBI Holdings as a blockchain investor, in a global perspective, SBI's name is well known to my place. I have enormous amount of emails that are sent to me from overseas. That is the current situation. March 2018, full year, we will be making 16 companies public from 14 to 16. And you will see that the related names in a rapid speed will be going public. So in this way, later on I will speak about the midterm plan, but I did not think that asset management will increase this rapidly to this level, but in a way, it may exceed the financial service business. That's the feeling I have at this point. Fintech, I believe, is that if the market goes down, that will go down, and people may think that quite often. But I myself think that this part, it's in its peak season, and this peak season will continue for a while. These are the measures to expand overseas businesses. SBI Bank LLC. There's a YAR bank in Russia, which we hold about slightly less than 50% in Russia. We bought all of that, and we have converted that to SBI Bank. And moving forward, we're going to change all of it. But as a license, we can have a unified service provided because we will have all the license in the financial services. And another good thing is that the Japan-Russia economic movements are very different from the past. And we are facing that situation at this time now. And at that timing, have 100% control of the bank is what we have now. And everything is all cleaned up. Therefore, it will become a very good bank. And also the online services, we are going to thoroughly implement that within Russia. And on one hand, the Japanese corporations that will be entering the Russian market will go to the four islands. There will be some Japanese companies that will enter those markets, so we would like to serve them. And also Jakarta, they have about 240 million of population. So we do need a solid standing of a bank. And so we have opened a representative office. So we will steadily expand the financial business. And also in Sri Lanka, in a joint venture style with Sunshine Holdings, we will provide advisory services to a Japanese company that will be entering the Sri Lankan market. And also, corporate venture capital, CVC. We have been focusing on this for a while, and together with House Foods, we have created the House Foods Group Innovation Fund. Last time we did the 25 billion, and this fiscal year, in addition to House Foods, we have a 10 billion. So in the total is a 45 billion yen of CVC. In total of last fiscal year and this fiscal year, we haven't made much of an announcement on it, but that's the situation. And also South Korea, as mentioned, under the K-GAAP in 2013, before the acquisition timing, that included, they have achieved historical high net income. And 40% is all performing loans. So overall, it has become a sound situation. In 2013, September, 56.1 was the delinquency or non-performing loans. So when we think about from that situation, making a bank to become a good bank is an easy job for us. And we were able to acquire a very talented person, Hata Osan, came from Tokyo Bank and went to Tokyo Mitsubishi, and we have brought him in as a chairman. He used to be the senior executive managing director of the bank, but now he is the chairman, and now he is assigned in Russia. Morningstar. Ordinary income in 9 consecutive fiscal years, they have been achieving the result, exceeding the previous year, and they are having quite of a solid management. And as for the management itself, I would like to acquire a European company or a Singaporean company or Hong Kong. I would like to acquire an asset management type of institution. I would like to focus on the asset management and have the partners, the regional banks as our partners, and bring in money. And that's the management structure that I am thinking of. And this will be the fiscal year 2018's major project of mine. Together with Mr. Asakura, I would like to proceed on this. Regarding the biotechnology-related businesses, as mentioned before, if we exclude the impairment loss, it is a so-so situation. And Adapromo made profit, and Photonamic has increased their profitability. And biotech, they outlicensed their technology last fiscal year, and that part does not exist at this fiscal year. And Quark also has 2 clinical trials in phase 2. Therefore, they require quite an amount of money towards their clinical trials. And however, that is getting close to completion. Therefore, overall, it is getting towards its end. As I mentioned before, the pipeline impairment loss is 24.2 billion, Quark 5.7 billion, Kubota Pharmaceutical Holdings 18.5 billion. And I don't want you to misunderstand. We do not sell the shares of Kubota Pharmaceutical Holdings. We drop the valuation and decrease the risk assets. Therefore, so please don't misunderstand. SBI Biotech, we have out-licensing of technologic, 3 of them. And SBI 9674, it's out-licensed to Kyowa-Hako Kirin for autoimmune disease. We are researching the areas that are quite of a focus at this time. Are we going to suppress the immune system and suppress the cancer? Or are we going to suppress the immune system to suppress the autoimmune disease? That is at the cutting edge field with Mr. Arai from the University of Tokyo, and we are actually planting the seeds of this focused area, and we are conducting the daily research. And regarding Quark, Novartis, which is a world-renowned pharmaceutical company, is a $670 million in total for the out-licensing. And we have these 2, GDF and AKI. The milestone payment we'll be receiving will be that much if they succeed. And for GDF, the clinical trials are towards the end, and new phase 2 primary endpoint and the secondary endpoint, both of them have come out with a very good result. Therefore, it is for sure that it is going to move on to phase 3. AKI is the acute kidney injury, and there's no drug that can cure that. 20% that are hospitalized, whether it's cancer, due to cancer or whatever. But at the very end, there are many cases the patients lose their lives due to acute kidney injury. They have the water accumulated in their chest area, and they lose their lives or have this acute kidney injury. Those cases occur. So if there is a drug that can cure such things, it will be a breakthrough. And Vicon Limited of India, they are getting close to the end of phase 3. And Pfizer, they have completed the phase 2A. And when moving on to 2B, moving to 2B, they were able to come up with something really good. And for us, this acute kidney injury, AKI, actually focusing on this only, I think, moving forward is probably the best way to go, is what I think. 5-LAA, SBI Pharmaceuticals, the bladder cancer project to Chugai Pharmaceuticals. Last December, we have did an out-license of the technology, and the drug is already launched. And for a gastric cancer, completed phase 3, and having Osaka University at the center. This is the gastric cancer and metastasizing peritoneal dissemination. And when we have the 5-LA drug in there, it actually emits light and oil. The surgeon has to do is remove that area. And cisplatine nephropathy protection has completed phase 2. And cisplatin is a quite often used cancer drug, anti-cancer drug. But if you use it too much, then there will be a kidney failure that will occur. And mitochondrial disease, they are in the preparation for phase 3 is underway. And there's no disease that exists right now to cure that. It is a minor disease, but globally looking at, there's no drug that will cure this disease. So globally, to contribute to people's health, which is my mission, through this, I will be able to achieve that. And by the lack of mitochondrial is causing this disease. Therefore, if you track it to the origin, the Alzheimer's or Parkinson's disease, it may link to those two diseases. And with Oxford University and with University of Birmingham, we have the cardiac ischemia reperfusion injury. We stop the blood flow once, and when it's reopened during surgery, the blood vessels will get clogged, and it will cause a problem. But by administering 5-ALA, it will be able to avoid that, and that has been proven through a clinical trial, and that is going to be tested on human moving forward. And Dr. Kobayashi in New York, regarding the photodynamic therapy, we believe that 5-ALA can be used to do that. And at Munich University for brain tumors, we are testing it. For the patients who have a brain tumors, which is a solid tumor, which is about 3 centimeters, they drill a hole for them outside and they cast a light. They saw that by using 5-ALA, that related product, that this PD or the brain tumors have disappeared. With 5-ALA, therapeutic drugs for diabetes and malaria infection, we have a partner, Neo Pharma at UAE. We're going to out-license the technology, and they're going to work on that, and they are working on this. With Yamagata University Faculty of Medicine, Professor Nakajima has published the paper on PLOS One, which is a famous U.S. scientific journal, that 5-ALA deficiency causes impaired glucose tolerance and insulin resistance coincident with an attenuation of mitochondrial function in aged mice. Impaired glucose tolerance and insulin resistance, IR, is caused by the 5-ALA deficiency. And this trial proved that by enhancing the 5-ALA, that this can be cured. And this can further clear the mechanism of 5-ALA. We have a tone down, which is a product that has a function claim, but we can further dig deeply on this. And we also have established a worldwide sales network of 5-ALA-based intraoperative diagnostic agent for cancer. In the United States, we have received FDA in June 2017. And in the U.S., there are plans to start selling it next fiscal year, and where you can do it one after another, one and after another. But I think that if we can stop the reoccurrence of the disease, I believe that we'll be able to lower the medical bills. And so I thought not one by one, but I thought maybe we can receive an approval in a blanket manner. So we have 25 countries in the U.S. and Europe, and we want to expand that more into Japan, too. SBI Nail Farmer, this is located in Dubai. It's a joint venture. And from May of 2017 in the Middle East, they have launched the sales of five Allah-related health foods. We are working on the registration work for over 80 countries around the world to be able to sell the health foods. And we believe that next fiscal year we'll be able to sell in more than 10 countries worldwide in fiscal year 2018. And for SBI Allah Promo, within the ranking of the foods with functional claims that was conducted in November 2017, we ranked ninth with the Allah Plus Toe Down, Sugar Down. And this is based on the regular purchase of the product. Ranked in for 21 consecutive months since March 2016. A number of domestic stores that offer health foods containing 5 Allah are increasing steadily and now become 15,000 stores. Most of the stores are handling our product. And the Allah Plus body shape is strongly performing, and it has been introduced to over 4,700 stores. And in addition to that, we have the improvement in the exercise capacity for the elderly with Shinshu University and improvement in the quality of sleep with Hawaii University. So we are working on the more diversified products. If you suffer the disease sarcopenia, then your muscles become weaker and weaker. And regarding that, there is a paper by Dr. Ito, and that is a very good paper. So we would like to work with him, too. Measures to promote further expansion of business performance and improvement in corporate value. First of all, we would like to establish various funds where we invest is that within our financial services business, we will use that service, meaning that we will provide a method to monetize the service. And that is going to be a positive factor to improve our business. And so we were able to create a win-win situation.
And here is one example. It's an alliance with Wealth Navi to provide robo-advisor services. According to their announcement, as of January 24th, the deposit asset, customer asset, is 60 billion yen, and about 60% of this 60 billion is from SBI Securities and SBI Sumishin Net Bank, 27.3 billion and 9 billion, respectively. Related to the business, and other than that, we are using various the lines of technology coming from various the venture companies, and which are expanded into regional banks area, so that our investee companies become more profitable, and that would boost our investment value, and that would in turn increase our revenue and profit, and that's the other good cycle. And establish a new fund to focus on investments in AI and the blockchain fields that will be widely utilized in various industrial fields. It's not just about the fintech. It's not just about the financials. AI and the blockchain can be used for various the industries. And here is a new initiative, SBI AI and Blockchain the Fund. We started with 20 billion yen, and the other, we are going to expand the commitment to about 50 billion yen or so. It's not such a difficult thing. The other approval from the other management committee or the other budget, the compiling, the other through those the other processes, the 50 billion yen is not difficult to be achieved. And so we started with 20 billion yen and SBI AI and Blockchain LPS or SBI A and B fund. It's a very easy to remember naming, and it's the market is going to be a huge one. Only in Japan, Fuji Kimura Research, they said that the 2 trillion yen in 2030 and the blockchain market size, it's expected to eightfold, reaching 250 billion yen. I mean, 250 billion yen. And the IoT area in Japan is expected to expand to 3.2 trillion yen by 2022. So different people are saying different things, but the common theme is the continuous growth. And in that context, we developed this the fund, and we would like to achieve a good cycle, continuous cycle already. SBI group companies are utilizing AI and blockchain. For example, SBI Securities, they conducted demonstration tests with NEC regarding application of AI to trading screening business of stocks, or the KYC operations related to individual number using OCR equipped by AI provided by Double Standard, or for SBI FX Trade, though we jointly develop AI to respond automatically to inquiries, so-called chat robo. This is developed with Microsoft Japan. And also advanced screening method using AI, and also hybrid chat service test introduction. And with NEC, it's against countermeasures. It's for countermeasures against unauthorized transfer. And also with Hitachi, we started the consideration to create screening services for financial institutions using AI, and SBI Savings Bank, in collaboration with the investee company Daily Financial Group in Korea, introducing a new screening model utilizing machine learning, and our efforts are already paying off. SBI Securities, for the bond processing operations using blockchain, the collaborating with IBM Japan for the verification of the applicability of blockchain to the financial market infrastructure for bond processing operations. So we are doing lots of things. I think the very important thing is as follows. SBI BITS, SBI Holdings, and LEC, the CODA, be using the CODA. We started the KYC, Know Your Customer operations, anti-money laundering and KYC. These two are very related to all kinds of business that we are engaged in, and of course, the cryptocurrency as well. As to the SBI Regional Bank Value Creation Fund, that it is going to be set on January 31st, 2018, starting with 10 billion to be increased to 100 billion yen level. And that this is privately placed the investment trust offered to qualified institutional investors. So it is the private placement fund. And so we invest in the regional banks. You can either make cash investment or in-kind contributions. And every month, we accept additional purchase applications, and we are going to expand it as high as 100 billion yen level. Some people are worried about such fund to be placed on the consolidated balance sheet. But I would say that it is licensed. When it comes to licensed business, the FSA doesn't want them to go under. On top of that, the PBR of the banks is at 0.5, very undervalued. Why that low? Because of negative interest rate. And of course, that's not the only reason. When it comes to the regional economy, that it is faced with a declining population and the shrinking economic basis, and cannot introduce fintech technology on their own because they do not have experts in that area. So they are faced with many problems and thus undervalued at 0.5 PBR. So we are going to pick up the good banks, and our fund will buy their the equity. Once it is done, probably I will be awarded myself and Kawashima-san by the FSA. So relationship with regional financial institutions. We have a long relationship, and we are strengthening it. And this relationship is contributing to the increased value of regional financial institutions. For example, the SBI Securities, we are providing services to 11 regional banks, and 7 are coming. So 18 will be in total. And by the March next year, we would like to increase it to 32. This is our financial intermediary services by SBI Securities. So the regional the financial institutions are getting very aggressive because they know they need help. They cannot abide by fiduciary duty. And SBI Money Plaza also business partnerships with the 34 regional financial institutions for investor introductions for the fund business. SBI Insurance, Fire Insurance will be handled by 3 regional financial institutions, and the group credit included, and some more are likely to join. And the SBI Ripple Asia, 43 regional financial banks are participating in the Japan Bank Consortium. SBI Fintech Incubation, it's yet to be announced, but the multiple number of financial institutions are likely to put themselves on the board. Other than that, several the financial institutions are very aggressively reviewing the possibility. SBI Business Solutions providing cloud services for 14 regional banks. E-Loan, a partnership with 48 regional banks to introduce loan products. Morningstar providing tablet app investment trust index to financial institutions, including 41 regional banks. The cumulative number of units offered is 49,305 units. SBI Investment, 28 regional financial institutions invested in the fintech fund. As to the SBI AI and Blockchain Fund, the Yamaguchi Financial Group and other financial institutions have invested. And there are many other institutions who just want to wait until the end of March to start investment. So 50 billion yen will be easy. Also, on overseas, the name of SBI is making its presence much stronger, and we are receiving some referrals. Now, the foreseeable direction of the establishment of the cryptocurrency ecosystem. So we started the cryptocurrency ecosystem in 2016, and it is growing constantly. And we are going to grow all of these the businesses in this ecosystem. And the other, we would like to enjoy synergy with the ordinary the business ecosystem. And here is the direction of the cryptocurrency ecosystem. There are six of them here listed. First of all, strengthen initiatives to expand the actual demand for cryptocurrency, remittance, or the trade of finance, or the settlement, utilization for remittance, or for trade finance, or for settlement and payment. And we'd like to expand our activities there, as announced by the Ripple. And this is an excerpt from the Ripple Insight. In 2017, in February, National Bank of Abu Dhabi announced the use of Ripple solution. And in the December, the Thai Bank of Ayutthaya supports remittance by a major Korean petrochemical company. So lots of announcements happened in 2017 and in 2018 already. In January, MoneyGram, SBI Remit is also tying up with MoneyGram. And this MoneyGram, one of the world's largest money transfer companies, announced to use Ripple solution and Ripple's digital asset XRP. And on January 18th, Korean Ulibank announced a secondary remittance test between Japan and Korea. So very steadily, in all over the world, we are engaging the big financial institutions. Why those big financial institutions like Ripple? Well, because Ripple is very friendly to financial institutions. The financial authorities, also the Ripple is friendly to financial authorities. So based on that, the remittance system is more rationalized, time-wise and cost-wise. And also, and for many people, the remittance cost is reduced, so everyone is happy. The Zengi Net or the public the network involves considerable the investment in the renewing the systems, and the you end up paying a tremendous amount of the commission for international remittance. And the idea here is to break it down, tear it down, to replace it with a more reasonable one, which can make everyone happy. So Ripple, SBI Ripple Asia is up and running. And we established the Japan Bank Consortium with 43 the regional banks are participating. In the total, 61 the banks, and all the mega banks are included in the 61. In addition, we have the Norin Chukin or Shinkin Chukin. All of these banks are included as well. So huge expectation from all of them. And in this spring, RC Cloud 2.0, established in December last year, that is going to be completed, is going to be commercialized, rather. The different banks want to use their own the products to, but if you want to reduce cost, it will be the mega banks who would see the considerable amount of the cost reduction, and they can reduce manpowers and they can reduce cost. But it is different from you might be thinking that it's a bit different from the other current the cryptocurrency the trend. But I have to point out that there is a security issue. It's not so easy to commercialize it. So we are moving forward very carefully. The Ripple's blockchain technology, without XRP, without the cryptocurrency, you can use ILP, Interledger Protocol. you can reduce the cost by 33% using only ILP. But if you use XRP as well, then it will be 60% reduction. So this is dissemination of remittance using the distributed ledger technology through partnership with overseas other companies. And this we started. We launched full-scale the expansion of remittance solution using DLT and the SBI Remit. And CoinPlug, it's an investee company of the fintech fund, the established the JV, SBI Kusumani, which will provide international remittance services between Korea and other countries. On January 3rd, 2018, registration of small sum money exchange and transfer business was completed. Now we are going to continue remittance revolution.
And also, when it comes to DLT, it's not just banks that are going to use it. Other companies that are financial institutions, such as credit card companies, can use it as well. So there was an announcement of a card consortium in December 2017 and also a securities consortium. An announcement probably was made today in 2018. Daiwa, Nomura are members. And when it comes to utilization for identity verification or KYC, they want to standardize it and also come up with anti-money laundering measures by leveraging DLT. All financial institutions, regardless of their format, requires this kind of technology. So this is something that is being considered. And R3's Corda. There are more than 100 consortium members, such as banks, security companies, central banks, and regulating authorities. They are all major in size. And there's more than 70 technology partner companies in the R3 consortium. In Japan, other than ourselves, we have three mega banks as well as Nomura Holdings and Daiwa Securities that are members. Currently, the SBI Group is the largest outside shareholder of R3 and is the only Japanese company to have dispatched its executives. In fact, Ripple, we have an executive with them as well. And we're the only Japanese company that has dispatched our executive. So both companies, what they're going to do on a global basis, we are going to be playing an important role in drawing the vision together, and we hope we can do so and be part of it. Furthermore, promoting utilization of Corda by SBI groups, providing a training program for domestic financial institutions. We started from November 2017 on behalf of R3. SBI BIDS, a system development company, has started providing a Corda training program. As an operating system, we would like to collaborate with other participating financial institutions to build the next generation financial partner with Corda. It's not just Ripple. For trading finance, the importers, exporters, the intermediary, the banks, these three parties need to go through more than 10 steps. And due to document exchange, it takes a lot of time for the transaction to materialize. This needs to be more reasonable and rationalized. By using distributed ledger technology, the export documents can be shared with the importers and banks electronically, and we could simplify document formation as well as mailing. And when it comes to exporters, importers, transport operators, insurance companies, port operators, and financial institutions, the exchange of documents can be simplified. This is what we like to do by leveraging DLT. At UBS, for example, they did their own trials. A transaction period that used to take a week was shortened to an hour, which was 1/168th of the previous time. This is breakthrough. I mentioned earlier that we have developed S-Coin. For S-Coin, this is not just something that can be used within our group, Or the platform itself can be offered to local governments as well as to regional banks, and they could create their own name. It can be called something something coin, or they could name it with their own prefecture. So together with Orb, which is one of our investing companies, we've developed this together. And we need to pursue steadfast security. The biggest bottleneck factor is the security of wallet. When it comes to KYC-related technologies, it's a matter of how we can incorporate the technology more and perfect the technology. It's all about that. For blockchain, that's not an issue at all. There are DDoS attacks and cyber attacks that are happening. There are ransom attacks. SBI Securities, if you don't pay with cryptocurrencies, they've been telling us they're going to attack us as ransom money. And Kabucom, they've been terrified as well, but we have sufficient security measures. So we don't even listen to them. And we've never been inflicted with damage either. In the case of cryptocurrencies, it's not centralized. It's a global currency. From all parts of the world, you never know where the bad people are going to come from. Towards them or others, we need to ensure that we have sufficient theft prevention measures in place. What you need to do the most is to protect the wallet function and reinforce it. So I've looked around the world to find great companies with this technology. If we didn't pursue this, UBIT in Korea, the currency exchange, they were hacked twice, and 17% of their assets were lost, and they filed for bankruptcy. And we are seeing ICO attacks as well, where the tokens are stolen. In the global market, on a monthly basis, there are 100 cyber attacks per month. And out of the total funding of $3.7 billion, about 10% or about $400 million is being stolen. There is a Group IB report that says this. I'm not sure if this is right or wrong, but no matter what, wallets are vulnerable because we're talking about global currencies. So it's pretty much obvious that people will commence these attacks from around the world. So you need to be prepared sufficiently, or else you'll be vulnerable. Coincheck is the company that didn't do any of this. $58 billion was stolen on a Japanese yen basis. So the problems they faced was very basic at Coincheck. They were connected to the internet, and they were storing the NEM coins in the hot wallet. It's nonsense. You're connected to the internet, and they're storing the NEM coins. It's as if you're presenting your currencies to the thieves in an exposed environment. And the NEM Foundation was recommending multi-signature contracts to have that in place, but they didn't conclude one. You know, it's very basic, and they didn't address any of them. They're saying they're going to reimburse 40-something billions of yen, but I don't think they are capable of doing so. If they were able to reimburse their customers, it means that they were making so much money through this business. It's only several years since they were established. How many years were they since foundation? And were they making tons of money? If they were they paying their taxes? Were they filing their tax returns? I've never heard them paying massive amounts of taxes. So how in the world are they able to reimburse their customers in the scale of 40-something billions of yen? I think the FSA, the Financial Services Agency, should ensure they go through thorough reviews and screening, not just for the system, but for the company's financials as well. They need to confirm and inspect where they are. Because if they are capable of paying the 40-something billions of yen, I am sure that the tax regulators will start to step in as well. This is just common sense. I mean, in cash. Are they capable of paying that much money? I don't think there are that many companies that are capable of doing so. Of course, if they had a history of 20 years or 30 years and were able to generate considerable amount of profits every year and they have a lot of internal reserves, I would understand. But this is just one simple venture company. And the biggest thing that they anger me about is that Coincheck was paying so much money to run commercials when they should have invested in their security measures. They were just focused on attracting customers. So for these guys, they are the bottom of the hierarchy. They are rock bottom, and thankfully, I don't invest in them. And it is a group with which I never want to have a relationship with. I've already made that declaration. And for those players who enter the cryptocurrency space, we do a thorough review of the financials when we think about making an investment. And we will send an expert from SBI Bits to look at their system as well. That's how far we go. And just because they were pre-existing, allowing them to continue their business is something that shouldn't happen. Even if they were pre-existing, the regulators should ensure that these entities are approved. And until they receive their approval, their business operations should be suspended. And after the inspections, if they're fine, okay, maybe they can continue on with their business. But what they were doing was so bad and poor that the regulators should think about this matter. And with regards to wallet security, we've been tying up and partnering with a variety of companies. And with regards to new investees, here is a list. Enchain in the UK, we have a strategic partnership in place on cryptocurrency security. And with Company A from Korea and Company B from Taiwan and Company C from Denmark, currently, we are preparing a definitive agreement so that we can conclude a contract. Currently, for cold wallet or hot wallet or new breakthrough security systems that are dynamic, we are interested in companies that are developing these technologies. We would like to get in touch, incorporate the technology in our business so that we could create an exchange that's the safest in the world. We are not in a rush, and I've already made that declaration. For domestic and overseas exchange businesses, we've already been receiving the approval, but we decided to partner with Wobi from China. The reason why is because this company has 1.65 million accounts, and the maximum daily transaction volume was more than 510 billion Japanese yen. And over 4 years, they've been operating the platform in a steady manner. So the operational excellence and their technology is something that I regard highly of. And I would like to be well prepared to open up the exchange by partnering with Wobi. Actually, our exchange platform was already ready before the partnership, but I said, no, we shouldn't start the business yet. Because on a group-wide basis, we have about 23 million customers in total. 4 million plus for SBS Securities, in the banking business, more than 3 million, and Forex, more than 1 million accounts. This is the scale of our group. So if we taint one of the companies under SBI, everything is going to break apart. So I'm being very strict when it comes to protecting our brand. I don't want to name the company with SBI in the overseas businesses easily these days. So we are now registered for cryptocurrencies exchange and trading business. And we were registered as of September, but I said we shouldn't start right away. So we have partnerships with Wobi. I asked my people to ensure that the securities for the wallet is enhanced. And I also said, we're not going to carry minor currencies like NEM. For minor currencies, the involvement by North Korea is being rumored. And if we carry these currencies, it might be dangerous. Therefore, we will only do major ones, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, XRP, Ethereum. Is the degree to which we will proceed. And our own currency as well. The tokens that we are likely to issue going forward. We are going to limit the type of currencies we will carry with regards to the timing. Well, because of the CoinCheck issue, we'll look at what the FSA is doing, as well as what other currency exchanges are doing, and what's going to happen with trading across the world, as well as what the trends around regulations across the world, and also G20 discussions and the outcome that's going to take place from March 19 to 20th. And I heard they're going to take up cryptocurrencies as an issue. So based on the trends, we are going to make decisions. And before that, we would like to ensure security measures are at a level where we will be confident. However, from January the 30th, we'll be starting a pilot tests with customers, a limited number of customers, by just handling XRP through Digit AEX that's going to be set up in Hong Kong. So we'll be cautious in our operations, and we would like to ensure that we're never going to taint the name of SBI, and we won't inconvenience others. And for Bitcoin Cash mining, we started in one location overseas, which has started from this month. And for Bitcoin Cash, this is going to be the center of Bitcoin mining. And we are also thinking about two other locations. We've decided on one, but for the third location, we are considering, which is a location where we will be doing mining. We don't want concentration of Bitcoin mining, which was China. We would like to rectify the situation and try to acquire a market share of 30%. So in the ecosystem for cryptocurrencies, we would like to reinforce our function, and we would like to ensure liquidity and for clearing purposes. And as a transaction authorizer, we would like to contribute to the development of Bitcoin Cash as an active miner. So we would like to establish a cryptocurrency ecosystem overseas as well. With Company A in the U.S., we've already built a partnership, which is focused on ecosystem based on token issuance and liquidity. And we've been making joint investments into great companies. So we'll partner with Company A so that globally we can create and expand a cryptocurrency ecosystem. Because cryptocurrencies are a global currency, it's great for us. It's positive for us because when you're in the financial business, it usually is local and domestic. You're following Japanese regulations and the companies are set up in Japan and the services are used in Japan. And if you do global FX trading, it's legal currency versus legal currencies. So going forward, we are going to see the elimination of exchange rates. So we are preparing for ICOs as well at SBI Cryptocurrency Holdings. So in what way? We have services and assets in varieties of ways. And one thing is service-backed tokens. It's designed to be available for services provided by companies under the aegis of SBI Cryptocurrency Holdings. And people who have it will be able to use their services for free or under favorable conditions. Asset-backed tokens are tokens backed up by assets, which includes the issuer's IP. So if one of the companies in the group sells their stake and is generating capital gains, depending on the amount of tokens they have, part of the capital gains can be distributed. Those are the things that are being considered. So the value of the issuer and the value of the token should be in link with one another. So a number of ideas are going to be sought, and we will have discussions with experts to issue tokens. supporting ICOs on non-group entities by fully utilizing know-hows acquired through ICO and intermediate holding companies is something we would like to do as well. We would like to create a model ICO. And T1R is a company that we would like to work together with, which is currently in process of definitive agreement, will manage wide range of dealings and issues. And Morningstar will start a ratings business as well. And we will also have a cryptocurrency portal site. So with regards to the existing financial ecosystem, the cryptocurrency ecosystem should generate good synergies going forward. We already have been seeing it emerge for cryptocurrency customers or the operators. When they open an account, they open it with our online bank. At the same time, SBI Securities accounts are open as well. So we are seeing the number of accounts increase for both entities. You could see these numbers as of January, which is growing substantially, which is 4095 and 6422. And we would like to establish a new financial ecosystem by expanding the mobile-first service.
From now will be the era of mobile, and the ratio of mobile for our situation is increasing. It's the age of facing the computer in front of you is done. And as the measures to proactively promote financial transactions using mobile devices, we are rapidly spreading it, and we are in cooperation with the various financial institutions. Drive Wealth is from the United States. Can be securities and also foreign exchange, we have realized the fractional share investing service. And as Movin Company, which was established in 2011 and started business 2013 as the first mobile-based bank in the world. And of course, in the back, they need a bank. Of course, there's a mobile bank, but not just that, but we would like to have the regional banks at the back of this. And would like to expand their businesses, too. And the third point for Mobile First is the Japan Bank Consortium, for which SBI serves as secretariat, is preparing a settlement app with simple UI and UX. And also, the fourth for initiatives to realize the provision of Mobile First financial services. This Israel company is really good. Decentralized mobile applications. This is an investee company of the FinTech Fund. We have established a SBI PayKey Asia with them. So, provides app PayKey, the only service that enables users to make seamless payments on a messenger service platform using a keyboard app. And this, to promote mobile first, is very important. And also the authentication technology with SBI Bits. We have developed the face authentication. Within the researchers, 60% of the employees are foreigners, and all of them have PhDs. And this was developed by a Thai researcher. And very good quality of face authentication. By having all these type of securities, I want to IPO. Or separately issue a coin, do an initial coin offering. I'm either going to do either one of them. And currently, this is the financial ecosystem and the cryptocurrency ecosystem and the mobile finance ecosystem. These three, we like to generate a synergy. And a comprehensive service provided. And the steadily advancing efforts towards the actualization of intrinsic corporate value. I've been repeating this, and the time is limited, so I will move forward. The company listed on COSAC, South Korea, formerly SBI Access, is now SBI Fintech Solutions. And we brought the EC payment business and fintech-related business. And what happened to the share price? 9.8 billion yen became 26 billion yen in terms of the market cap. And just bringing little amount of technology, it increases that much. So the value that we generated is not surfaced, is intrinsic value, but we have many of those. So as you can see here, if you actually place it in the market, you will know the true value. And right now, Quark is prepared to be offered in NASDAQ, and we have already decided on the lead managing underwriter. by the end of this week. We will be prepared. So biotech investments. With this, everything will be completed according to my plan. And for the insurance group, five companies together will be IPO'd. That's the plan. And also, SBI Biotech, SBI Ella Pharma will bring it to Hong Kong and made it into an intermediate holding company. And that is starting to prepare for IPO and SBI Capital Management. This is doing the asset management business for the group, and they specialize that and have an efficient and central management of funds and foreign exchange for the business. And this is going to be independently IPO'd. And for the group's vision, 3 years ago, I did say that develop a composition of the financial service, asset management, and biotechnology-related business. Profit before income, tax expense composition by segment in 3 years will be 631. And there is a possibility that the funds may be not become better, but maybe it's not 631, it may be 622. This time, 24 billion. If we didn't do the impairment of that, that would be 78 billion, 74.8 billion in reality. Well, we still have time to the fourth quarter, and ROE at 10%, and three quarters, we have reached 9%. So within the full year, for sure, we will achieve 10%. And the annual dividend, we said about 100 yen. So 70 yen returned. There is a possibility of an upside. Therefore, I think it's a good line. And endeavor to double the market capitalization that is presently intrinsic. The market cap presently is about 330 billion. I said that before, but at this point, 620 billion. And the peak is 639.1 billion. Towards achieving all these with the whole group, we're going to implement thorough progress management on KPIs formulated by the group companies. And also, we are going to secure human resources, which is a source of corporate competitiveness. And from the new hires and also mid-career hires, and the total of employees right now is 5,219. We had an ad on a newspaper before, too. We are going to look at the capability of that person, not seniority system. We are going to focus on that person and that talent and do the hiring. And the female manager ratio is at 15.4%, meaning that the evaluation process according with ability and without gender bias. And we'll also have the introduction of a career opening system by means including an internal recruiting and self-application program. If you want to change your jobs, you can within the group. And also, we will be abolishing the age limit for re-employment after the mandatory retirement. Of course, under the condition that the person can still perform with great power, energy, and intellect, as long as they can perform that way, they can continue working. And also, we will establish the Next Generation Financial Study Group as a group. We have established the Next Generation Financial Study Group as a group cross-organization. I myself lead that. And introduction of specialist system is implemented.